The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement, someone I have the pleasure of working with every day. Right, Carolyn?
Every day.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, and it's always interesting, and always there's always challenges, there's always opportunities in the GSA federal marketplace, and I guess that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm just going to open up with an open-ended question sort of, mm-hmm. Carolyn. So what's going on in the GSA marketplace right now?
Well, you know, there are a lot of policy issues that we're facing. We've made lots of recommendations to GSA on changes, particularly to the MAS pricing policy. But I think a positive thing that I'm seeing is that there does seem to be a thaw in the communications. I think GSA is aggressively using its website and GSA Interact to push information out. They're using a lot of webinars to explain to newcomers in the field how to submit offers. And I think all of that is positive.
Well, also, you know, just can't forget the fact Jeff Kosis, the senior procurement executive at GSA, you know, appointed an industry liaison, Melissa Gary, as a sounding board for industry issues. Mm-hmm. I know as well, the IT Center has appointed Carl Krumholtz as industry liaison for industry within the IT Center. You know, I know the services schedule folks are very open to meeting just and having ongoing conversations about some of the things that we're going to talk about in a mm-hmm. moment. But, you know, there is that communication, but there's also some sort of structural changes we're seeing as well.
Yes. And, you know, in addition to that, I think that one of the things that the coalition tries to do is to bring information and communication to its members. And we often have GSA and other government agencies that are willing to come to meetings and participate to share information. You know, so what I'm hoping is that what we're seeing at this level will at some point translate itself into better communications one-on-one as our members continue to report to us that they have difficulty reaching contracting officers or a certain reluctance to talk about issues that might be controversial. So it's a start in the right direction, and we hope to see it keep going that way.
Right. And even at the higher levels, you know, we recently had Tom Sharp, the FAS commissioner, talk to our members. And on September 17th, we have Norman Dong, the PBS commissioner, is going to be coming and talking to our members as well. So it's sort of rippling throughout the organization. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, sort of a thaw, you know, as we all know, you know, post, Western Conference scandal, for lack of a better term, which I guess mm-hmm. it was, very difficult for GSA, I think, to be able to, you know, engage in conversation and communication, you know, in an effective manner. They had to work through some issues internally, and it looks like they've done a lot of that.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was not just GSA, as you well know. That rippled out almost to the entire government.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. We are painfully aware of that, aren't
painfully
we?
Painfully aware.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk, you know, well, now let's just turn to, you know, maybe the biggest market that GSA has in place, the GSA Schedules Program. And I just, you know, what are you seeing about that's going on in the schedules right now that's of interest to our listeners?
Well, a number of things. I think just continuing on the communications theme, some months ago there was a request for a national dialogue around improving federal contracting, and our members were very participative. They responded to OMB's request, and as a matter of fact, of the top 10 items on the national dialogue, at least five of them were from the coalition. And so we are hoping to hear what the government is doing with those recommendations. And I probably, it's no surprise to you, Roger, that our recommendations were largely centered on the GSA Schedules program. Particularly, we recommended that GSA look at clarifying most favorite customer to make it clear that most favorite was not necessarily best price. We also made a recommendation with respect to the price reduction clause that GSA stop using the price reduction clause and to use techniques that leverage the competitiveness of the ordering procedures as a way of leveraging prices without having to have the negative consequences of the price reduction clause.
Right. The National Dialogue was a public dialogue where any citizen could go up and actually make recommendations with regard to the procurement system and vote for the recommendations that were posted. You know, you're right that the public looked at it. They looked at the recommendations that we went up there and posted and, in fact, voted sort of overwhelmingly for the recommendations the coalition had made. We are looking forward to seeing what the next steps in the process. And really, it's all around reform to reduce transactional price and administrative costs for everyone. It's for the contractors, obviously, but more fundamentally, it's to try to, you know, enhance the streamlined competitive process for customer agencies and ultimately for the American taxpayer.
Well, and the whole concept is that if you can reduce the cost of contracting, you might see a commensurate reduction in the prices that the government has to pay. So,
right. Which provides ability to focus more on best value where it's appropriate, where mm-hmm. you can get returns on your investments, mm-hmm. You know, and just enhancing the competitive marketplace, I think. And it also is a pro small business approach to contracting because some companies have the biggest, most difficult time dealing with the compliance with the price reduction clause are small businesses because the infrastructure you have to put in place and the costs associated with that, and as we know, small businesses and their margins versus large companies don't have the same resources to be able to build that infrastructure. So it's a pro-competition, pro-small business sort of approach.
Right. Also, there's been quite a lot of discussion that I think underlies a lot of these recommendations on the difference between price and value. You know, the multiple award schedule program was set up to, of course, leverage the government's ability to get a good price, but it was also established to make sure that government agencies had easy access to the best that there is in the commercial market, be it from small businesses or large businesses. So much of the discussion on all of the issues, there's a fundamental issue that has to be addressed of value versus price.
Right. And also there's another aspect of it too that your comments reminded me of or just what sparked is the idea of innovation and access to the commercial marketplace. Right. What we have seen and the feedback we've gotten is that companies are reluctant to offer their latest technologies via the GSA schedules because of the price reduction clause, because they can't track for compliance purposes because it's a new product out there. So they, and some very sophisticated products, or it's priced in a manner that provides for a solution as opposed to the current structure. So it's more difficult to manage. So there's delays in getting technologies and innovation on the contracts that is unnecessary, especially when, you know, pricing is driven by competition at the task order level, not this artificial sort of oversight mechanism.
Right. And as you well know, the difficulties in monitoring can be significant. And at the same time, the risk of doing it the wrong way are significant because of you have not only the price reduction clause of the contract mechanism, but you also have Civil False Claims Act. And I think many companies are scared, rightly so, by some of the large numbers that we hear in some of the settlements that come down around False Claims Acts, particularly related to the schedule and the price reduction clause.
Hey, you know what, Carolyn? We have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston. She is Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about the GSA schedules market, some goings on there with regard to consolidation, data reporting, that sort of thing. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement, someone I work with every day. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn, when we took the break, we had started talking about the GSA schedules or marketplace and what was going on there. And we had touched on the national dialogue. I guess first I want to go, if you could, I think the other one that I think we heard a lot of public response to, beyond just the national dialogue, is the other direct costs. Can you talk a little bit about what that sort of issue is and why it's so important?
Yeah, well, I think at its core, it's as simple. The schedule is set up with specifically awarded contracts for items and basically service hours. Increasingly, agencies have used the schedule to satisfy complex requirements. And when you're looking at a complex requirement, you're not always able to anticipate every single thing that you will need to make the solution work. So the question becomes, how do you acquire those things that are necessary to make a solution work that are not on the contract? And so we usually refer to those as other direct costs. GSA has had a difficult time dealing with the concept of how to bring those into the schedules arena. And the coalition has made suggestions on how that should be done.
Yeah, we did a white paper on it, actually.
We did a white paper on it, and it's been an issue that's been going on for a very long time. And it was a little frustrating from the industry standpoint because we felt that there was a clause already in the GSA contract that would have covered this issue and that did allow other direct costs to be introduced. Of course, GSA did not agree with that. I think the bottom line, the good news, if there's good news here, is that the issue has been moved forward. Probably there's been some progress since the last time we were talking, and that GSA is going to, they put out a Federal Register notice asking for comments on the items that industry felt should be addressed, and I am hoping that we will see a proposed rule that deals with other direct costs and allowing them onto schedules.
Right. It really, and it goes back to, we're not talking about some remarkable thing here, frankly. We're talking about a FAR authorized clause for commercial item contracting that allows at the task order level for other direct costs, materials, and an indirect cost, some certain for the indirect cost, to be reimbursed as part of a task order. And in the case of the schedules, it would be based on, in most instances, a task order competition. So you would have competition driving that, and they get reimbursed for their costs, and that, and it's auditable as well. And that's built into the FAR clauses as well. So it's really that balance between being able to offer a complete solution, but also, the FAR addressed the accountability aspect of it as well. So it's a great tool to have on the GSA schedules. And we, to your point, we'll look forward to seeing what the next steps are based on their Federal Register notice.
And I think it's, although it might sound like a small issue, it's a huge issue because it goes to whether a customer agency is going to feel confident that their requirement can be completely satisfied. And the contractors don't want, and the agencies don't want, to get into the middle of performance and not be able to acquire something quickly that's needed to make the solution go.
Right. And there's ramifications of it too, is contract duplication, right? If companies can't get that commercial solution because they can't acquire materials at cost or other direct costs, they're more likely to create a new contract vehicle and just use the FAR clauses that already exist that, GSA has the same access to create duplicative contracts. And that's not good for anyone. That increases overall transactional costs in the procurement system. It creates stovepipes. There's an opportunity through this policy to help enhance the federal marketplace and make it more efficient, quite frankly.
Yeah. And, I would hope that there's some way to make this process move quickly. I mean, the FAR process moves at a very slow pace.
Yes,
and
it does.
The needs of agencies are moving at a very fast pace. So somehow I hope that the process can be speeded up.
Right. Well, another issue in the schedules marketplace is, I guess, a professional services consolidation that GSA has been talking about. And I know last week they did an Interact posting on it, talking about, I think it was last week, right? It wasn't earlier this week, whatever. It was, or it might have been 2 weeks ago. But that's a big issue, the potential consolidation of the schedules. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, the as you know, GSA is going to the use of category managers. The services category manager has been very active in soliciting feedback from associations and from individual contractors on how they're proceeding. They are looking at taking all of the professional services and combining them into one. I think that they may not be able to get to one because there are some categories of services that are distinctly different from others. And I think GSA is already looking at carving out some things like
logistics
they're looking at carving out. And they may need to look at carving out more than that. But I agree with the basic concept of simplifying the way services are solicited. And a consolidated schedule will make it easier for companies that are in multiple business lines to offer a solution that covers all of their business lines. I think that GSA needs to proceed cautiously, though, because you don't want to consolidate to the point where it's actually going to cause trouble, where things that are dissimilar are going to be on one schedule and it's going to be hard to navigate once you get on that schedule. But the agency is asking for feedback. Coalition is taking a look at it, and we continue to provide feedback to them on as they move forward.
Right, and you know, isn't one of the pieces of it too is the idea that can reduce the number of contracts across the board. It's almost addressing, you know, I wouldn't call it duplication because they're contracts for different things, but you know, a lot of the announcements talk about potentially reducing the number of contracts that people have, and that helps them in terms of, you know, saving them time and money and, you know, effort, and presumably would have the same impact on contractors.
Yeah, well, they're reducing contract in two ways, because they will, of course, reduce the contract if they take two business lines and add them to one contract. But as they go along, they're really aggressively removing contracts that have no sales also as a part of that process. And one of the things that we have been looking at is just the process of how GSA is going to get from where they are to the consolidated schedule.
Right. That's a lot of paperwork right there.
It's a lot of paperwork. And I think one of the things that is we were concerned about was whether or not they would be accepting new offers along the way. We just had confirmation this week that they will continue to receive new offers as they move to the one schedule, one professional schedule.
Right. And, I think one of the important things, too, is GSA needs to think about is maintain the flexibility. If there's companies who want to maintain separate contracts for, you know, the way they're organized or the way they go to market just generally, it shouldn't be a mandatory thing. It should be something that's an option for companies that, and you create incentives for the companies to want to do it. But you don't want, it's not, you know, a cookie cutter approach where one size fits all either.
Yeah. For some companies, it will not work for them to consolidate their business line just because of the way they're structured internally. I think it is very important for that feedback to come to GSA now rather than when they're far down the line into grouping the new professional services.
Okay. And Carolyn, we're already up on the next break. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston, the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll continue a little bit on schedules, that marketplace, and talk about some other things going on, data reporting, you know, maybe a little bit on standardized labor categories, and even may touch manufacturer part numbers and UPC codes and what's going on there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. She is Executive Vice President and General Counsel of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And someone, as I mentioned, the last two segments I work with each and every day, I have the pleasure to do so. And I learn something from Carolyn every day about GSA. And I'm someone who worked there for 20 years. So we're talking to the expert right here today. And Carolyn, you know, when I mentioned when we were going to break, we continue a little bit on the GSA Schedules Program and maybe touch on some things that I don't know if they're controversial or they're, but they actually do create some angst or uncertainty in the contractor community. And so I think it's fair that we should talk about them a little bit. And, you know, one is this is data reporting and just what the trend is within the schedules. And I would tie to that the manufacturer part number issue that's come up recently. And first, just talk about data reporting in general.
I'm telling you, just in general, the government has a tremendous desire for information. And contractors are very often the target of the request. And it comes up in many ways. As you know, anyone that's submitting an offer on the multiple award schedule has to disclose a lot of information about the way they do business. And historically, that information was based on your policies and practices. In recent times, the data has been much more transactional. So the government wants to know exactly what you paid to particular companies over long periods of time. So the problem with all of that request for data is the collection of it and the cost of collecting that data. And then, of course, the fact that you have to certify it so that you can avoid price reductions and False Claims Act. So, but that's only the start.
That's
almost, of it.
I mean, Carolyn, that's like going back to the 1980s type, you know, GSA really, schedules program.
It is really going back to the time when GSA used to ask for lots of transactional data, and there was even a court case where the government won, and the court said there's no way that any reasonable person could expect that
the contractor won. Right?
The contractor won. That there, no reasonable person could expect the government was really asking for this amount of data. Well, we're almost back there to requesting for, to responding to requests for transactional data. But it's not just the negotiation process anymore. Recently, GSA has said that they wanted contractors to report manufacturers' part numbers and product codes as a part of their upload to what is GSA's basically electronic catalog. And then apart from GSA, just government-wide, contractors were recently required to report all of their service contracts. So just from many different sources, contractors are having to deal with various requests for data, and it's very costly.
Right. And well, you know, even in the schedules context, the reporting level 3 data elements and various solicitations on the GSA schedules, and even the data that they're asking within that level 3 type credit card information, they include data elements that are not traditionally collected by banks or anybody else. I mean, there's things like that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, part of what even drives strategic sourcing is a need for data. You know, not only does the government want the prices to go down, but they also want a lot of reporting so that they can collect data. Now, on the one hand, I think that the government believes that if they get this data, it will help to improve the contracting process. I think it would be easier for some companies to accept if they could actually see that that data was being used for some good purpose. But there's also some question over, is the government really using the data, and what are they really using it for? So it's not only costly, but in some quarters, there's question over whether the government is actually making use of the data they collect.
I think another frustration that we hear is that this data is already in the government's possession in many cases, especially if you're talking about prices paid information. You know, there's invoices and there's, you know, checks cut or electronic transactions and payments all the time. And the government has all that information. You know, it's always been a cost shifting issue where they, you know, they, it's more cost effective in the government's view to collect it from the contractors. But again, you're just increasing the cost of operation for a government contractor, and probably, you know, that ultimately impacts their margins, the profitability, you know, their ability to offer and compete in the federal market, period. I mean, you know, it's a huge barrier for small businesses.
Yeah, well, I think that the government does have the data elements. The problem is that it is not in a usable format. And so somebody has to bear the cost of making it usable.
Right. And it's a cost shifting exercise, mm-hmm. where it's shifted to the contractors. You know, on the manufacturer part number, I mean, that's an interesting issue too, because it seems to me that a more robust dialogue with the companies on the GSA schedules as to what the goals of the collection are, and whether it's even feasible for manufacturer part numbers, is that even the right information to be collecting? Because you've talked in some industries, you know, you're talking about literally potentially tens of millions of data elements being reported to the government, and I don't think GSA has the systems to be able to handle that. That's some of the concerns we're hearing.
Yeah, and I hear those same concerns, Roger. And also, I think what you hear underlying all the concerns about specific, because you can pick apart specific data elements and specific collection. But I think fundamentally there is a conversation that has to occur over what is the best way for the government to buy. And if you put all of these things together, there's been a tremendous focus on price, just lowering price. I want to know how you're selling so I can lower the price. I want to know what other government agencies are buying so I can lower the price. And someplace in there is a reason for a conversation about value,
right,
and quality. And I think some of those conversations get lost over all the requests for data.
Right, and that's
nobody's asking, did you really do a good job?
Right, or even what's the value proposition? Because even let's not pick on anybody, but even office supplies. If you talk to the major commercial firms that are successful, you know, there is a solution offered to their customers, to their major customers, of how it's delivered to them, how they maintain inventory for them, and how they price it based on firm requirements. The government doesn't do any of those things through strategic sourcing. It's a very top-down approach with no real firm commitments. Which makes sense, because how can you commit, the Department of Homeland Security's, office supply requirements? The DHS can do that, and could do it in would be better served to do it through their own BPA off the GSA schedules, where that they can manage their funding and manage their requirements in a much more effective manner. So they go hand in hand, right? That data reporting through strategic sourcing, and strategic sourcing, at least the impression that's left, it's all about lower price as opposed to value.
Right. And I don't think that is really the objective. I would bet if you talk to any government person involved in strategic sourcing, they would say this is not only about price, but the way the requests come out, the data that's being requested, that's the impression that is left, that it's all about price.
Right. And, Carolyn, we do have to take our last break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about maybe standardized labor categories on GSA schedules, and that's a pricing issue as well. Creates an appearance of just trying to get a lower price as opposed to value. And then maybe turn to a couple other issues real quick, get your thoughts on strategic sourcing, contract duplication, maybe a little bit on oversight. We'll do these, we'll do these quick hit sort of things, try to get some thoughts on some of those issues.
Okay.
My guest today is Carolyn Alston. She is Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. She is Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement, my office mate on a day-to-day basis. And Carolyn, you know, I mentioned standardized labor categories, and that's something that we hear periodically from GSA with regard to the professional services arena. And, you know, first, I guess, what is it, and, you know, have any thoughts about it?
Okay, well, maybe the best way to explain what it is by explaining what there is now. Currently, contractors are allowed to come in and submit offers on the labor categories that they offer commercially. Okay, so the result is that there are probably thousands of different labor hour categories that are someplace in the GSA schedule system. The suggestion is that the government define the categories, and probably that would lead to a reduction in the number of labor hours that a contracting officer is required to evaluate. And this is very much the same as the way GSA is treating its commodities. They are trying to narrow the descriptions and be able to force what they believe to be is an apples-to-apples comparison. Or let me say, they believe to be a comparison. The problem from the industry side is that, number one, it doesn't provide the flexibility to offer the same types of services to the government as it does, as you can to your commercial customers, because you're going to be forced into specific categories. The other problem is that it's totally inconsistent with the multiple award schedule method of evaluation. The whole concept of the multiple award is to be able to leverage what you have in the commercial market, because the government is really not able to well define for purposes of comparison. So it's just a philosophical disconnect between what the schedule was set up to do and how the government would now like to evaluate.
Right, something I would think might need even some rulemaking.
It would need a rulemaking because of the fundamental disconnect.
Right.
It's just philosophically not the same system.
I think
if you're going to go to that system, then you need to eliminate some of the protections of the current system. You can't just layer it on.
Right. And well, doesn't it do this too? It seems to me that it also, you mentioned some of the things that it does in terms of limiting the ability to offer the way you do in a commercial marketplace. Well, doesn't it, by that very, you know, limitation, you also limit the company's ability to offer value, right?
Yeah, again, it goes back to the same discussion we've been talking about before, value versus price.
Right, and to me, standardized labor categories, and I know you've heard me say this before, mm-hmm. It's low price technically acceptable by other means. And
exactly.
if you want to drive out best-in-class companies on the GSA schedules and actually restrict, this is another thing that, you know, is kind of inconsistent mm-hmm. with the administration's procurement position with regard to innovation. Everybody's talking about innovation, how to get more innovative companies to participate in the commercial marketplace. Well, you know, the GSA schedules are the premier commercial item contracting program in the government in terms of access to the commercial marketplace. Well, you want to restrict innovation, you want to drive companies out of the marketplace, standardized labor categories is the first thing I would think of in the service arena that would do so. Because it limits the company's ability to offer value, best value, and innovation.
And also, I think one result is that even the companies that stay in the market are going to offer limited solutions to the government, because they're not going to offer those people
sure.
who are the most highly qualified, because they're going to be trying to reach some norm, some average.
Sure.
And the government has so many complex missions and so many very important missions that sometimes you don't want average.
Right.
You want the best.
Yeah, I want, you know, the best in doing my cybersecurity analysis, or mm-hmm. I want the best who can provide, you know, analysis of a terrorist organization or something mm-hmm. like that that you want to get another view on, something like any of those kind of things. So, you know, I scratch my head because it is inconsistent with, you know, this current drive to promote innovation. It's fundamentally, diametrically opposed to the idea of innovation.
Yeah. And I think that GSA is hearing those things. Hopefully that you know, just circling back to the where we started with this conversation with communication, if they hear it enough, that this will be an idea that they may be able to achieve their objectives in a different way.
Right.
And I think their objectives a lot are about simplifying that negotiation process.
Right. Well, when really what drives the price and value is the requirement at the order level, but that's a whole another discussion we don't have time for today. So Carolyn, one real quick thought. I mean, if you have any thoughts on federal strategic sourcing, a lot of it's built on the schedules platform. What are you seeing there?
Well,
that's a big question. I understand that.
That is a big question. You know, strategic sourcing, we have looked at it, and the coalition 2 years ago gave some best practices for strategic sourcing. We think that strategic sourcing can be done using the multiple award schedule platform, but that the best way to do that is for individual agencies to develop really good requirements and to make agency BPAs as opposed to government-wide BPAs. Now, as you well know, the first few strategic sourcing vehicles were government-wide generic platforms. We have recently seen some efforts that may be going a different way, where the government is looking at instructing agencies on the best way to buy, developing buyer's guides, developing information about how to use existing vehicles. And I think those are all very good things.
Right. That's like the IT effort, I think.
The IT effort.
And the furniture effort, right?
And yes, and even
best
furniture.
Best practices for customer agencies and crafting their requirements. Well, we got about, let's say about a minute and a half left, Carolyn. And I wanted to give you a chance because you are sort of managing the coalition's fall conference effort in large part. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the coalition's fall conference, which will be November 6th at the JW Marriott here in Washington, D.C. And the night before, we're going to have a 35th anniversary celebration and our Excellence in Partnership Awards. So how is that going, Carolyn?
It's going quite well. I'm getting very excited about it. This is our 35th year in business. So the theme for our conference is going to be looking back and moving forward. And we have a good lineup of speakers. We have Tom Davis already confirmed as our keynote address. We want to have a town hall where we're going to bring in the thought leaders in government to talk about where we are right now with the acquisition process and what it takes to move us to the next step in terms of excellence in acquisition. One of the things that are kind of the signature of the coalition events is that we always have an afternoon that is packed with specific breakout sections on particular topics, particular contracts.
Or programs,
And it is a wonderful opportunity to come in, hear from the people who are directly involved in the programs, get your questions answered. So I'm just encouraging our members to all turn out, and for anyone in the contracting field, who are, particularly if you're interested in commercial item contracting, that you should be at the fall conference.
Well, thanks, Carolyn. And we're going to get some updates on that as we move closer to it. We got about 2 months right now before the big event. And again, we're looking forward to it. And I know it will be, we got great reviews on the spring conference. It was a wonderful event and lots of good dialogue on the procurement system. And we're looking forward to that this fall. And finally, I want to thank Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn, for being my guest today. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.